I remember years ago in Bible College, we have a guest lecturer. He came and he says, I want to bring you through the book of Nehemiah. And then he went through. He went through practice of leadership. And immediately at that point of time, I caught the beauty of this book. I caught the wonderful teaching of this book. But after graduating, as I ministered and restudied the book of Nehemiah, I realized even more. It is not just leadership. Yes, well and good, it is for the leaders to be able to capture the principle of leading God's people. But Nehemiah is more than just a leader. He's actually a person greatly used by the Lord. Like you, like me. Alright, not necessarily to be a leader. Everyone can be greatly used by the Lord in your sphere of work. And as I studied, I realized that Nehemiah was a person full of passion for the work of the Lord. He's one person that the moment you talk about it, there's something to do with the Lord. He says that I'm a cupbearer. Oh, that's an important post. Alright? And also the most dangerous post. If I want to say that, he could be the director of intelligence to the president. Anything happen, he is in the front line. He will be get shot first. Alright? If anyone wanted to poison the king, Nehemiah will be dead first. Because cupbearer, high taster. If I'm okay, the king is safe to drink. If it is not okay, what happens? Nehemiah died. Correct? So, a very important post. And yet, the Lord used him mightily. And for all of us, for all of us. And I titled this thing called In Sin with the Lord. The very first chapter. Not only have I learned new principle, I also learn new vocabulary. Especially for me, good at the latest technology with reference to smartphone, tablet. I learn new things. Alright, remember when I first, because of the work, I got my first iPad. Immediately I was told, you know, one thing that I, one wonderful thing, just to let you know, the iPad that I'm having, I hardly use more than 10% of what's being offered there. Because the others I don't know. But there's one thing that someone told me, I think it was my niece who told me, you know, Uncle Peter, you know what? You can sing. You mean what? iPad, I can sing. No, I'm not going to sing and record. No, sing means you sing with your computer. You sing all your documents together. I said, wow, that's great. I don't have to carry my CPU all the way. He said, you sing it into your iPad and it is really good. I said, what sing? I remember years ago when we learned the word sing. It's the short form of synchronization or synchronize. But now sing is no longer a short form of synchronization. It is a new word because it has a present continuous and it has also past tense. You sing, sing with this, sing with that. Not singing, but sing. Huh? That's a new word, totally. So I said, but it's good. It's good to look. And I look at it, I say, yeah. Hey, this is something that we can think about. Alright, immediately, then link it with Nehemiah. And I considered Nehemiah was a person, his life was totally in sync with the Lord. He could really feel the pulse of the Lord. Whatever the Lord wants, it's almost like sing to his heart. And whatever he wants, he was able to tap into the Lord. Alright? And from the book of Nehemiah, I learned a new theological term called the arrow prayer. You know what is an arrow prayer? You get an arrow, right? And you shoot. The arrow is not going to be very slow. When you pull that string and you release it, that arrow is going to be very what? Fast, right? And that's called arrow prayer. The moment you are in a dilemma, or in front of you, you are being interviewed for a new job, suddenly you have a question. What are you going to do? Arrow prayer to God. Immediately, Lord, help me. What am I going to answer? That's how Nehemiah did. Right? The king suddenly put him, what can I do for you? What are you going to do? Only there was a question. Lord, give me the wisdom what to say to the king. And Nehemiah was in such singing with the Lord that he could immediately say, Lord, give me the wisdom. And it is our life, not just Nehemiah. Our life should be that. Alright, in every situation when we are at work, and then suddenly you're put into the position or put into a fix, and they say, suddenly the boss says, do it. I want you to come up with a solution. Don't worry, the Lord. Alright, the Lord will help us. So let's look into Nehemiah chapter 1 verses 1 to 11. What is this thing called in sync with the Lord? A life that is in sync with the Lord. Can my life be in sync with the Lord? Surely can. How do I know? From this first chapter, I want to suggest that a life in sync with the Lord can be reflected through one's passion. And second thing, it can be reflected through our daily prayer. And I want all of us, after this, to be able to do a self-examination. Lord, is my life in sync with you? Which I hope that everyone would say, Lord, thank you, I am. But if anyone find that, Lord, through this self-examination, I realize that my life doesn't seem to be in sync with you, then do something. Alright? The Lord has never moved. It is that unknowingly we move away from the Lord. Let us now come in sync. Just like the computer. Alright, this morning I was told by my PA crew, I was at the English service, and they said, oh, Pastor Tay couldn't project his PowerPoint. I said, what happened? She said, we don't know. We try everything. Alright, take the cable, we do this, we do that. It just cannot. There will be time. Alright, you find it, no matter how you do it, just cannot say. We hope that will not happen in our life. Alright, let's look at a life in sync with the Lord. First, we want to study about the passion in sync with the Lord. Passion in sync with the Lord. When we talk about passion in sync with the Lord, we talk about a character development. Alright, a life that is in sync with the Lord does not happen overnight. Rest assured that it will not happen overnight. It was a developmental period. If we were to look at ourselves, we have certain character. Alright, we have our own character. Is our character formed overnight? Yesterday, at at the teacher's training seminar, Sunday school teacher's training. I didn't realize I had this. And then suddenly this morning I woke up, oh, I have this character. Anyone? I don't think so. It must be formed over a period of time. Alright? And even beginning from birth. Alright? And we have our, I think yesterday he was here, that little John, I call him little John, because we have a bigger John, and then this is the little John. And when he is sleepy, I know, because why? Not the right time, the left time goes into the mouth, and this is the time, he's tired, going to sleep. When was it formed? Yesterday? 1 month ago? No. It was from the time that he realized it, and he all the time put, instead of putting a dummy pacifier, it's the thumb. Alright? So it's being formed. And I was just telling, making, next time, how are we going to correct that? Not to always put the thumb in. Because why? You'll find that all bruises around. Because now with teeth coming, and then it's going to be a problem. So, to change him would take another period of time. Alright? So character forms not overnight, even beginning from birth. Alright? For this, let's look at the name Nehemiah. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Nehemiah. Alright? The word Nehemiah literally means the consolation of Yah or Yahweh. Alright? Every time when you say like Jeremiah, Isaiah, the I-A-H behind, it's usually referring to Yahweh, or we call it Jehovah. So Nehemiah, it's consolation of Yahweh, the Lord. And this is towards the end of 70 years, where they had begun going back, alright? The exile, the Israelites began going back by the mercy of the Lord. So that tells us that Nehemiah was very likely born, and even in where? In first, probably the Babylonian Empire, then later the Persian Empire, away from Jerusalem, far, far away from Jerusalem, as a refugee. Not a refugee, I think more worse than a refugee. Alright, they were being captured and being exiled into. They were almost like slaves, without any identity. And yet, the parents of Nehemiah, when he was born, named the son Consolation of Yahweh. And I'd like to encourage parents, when you are giving birth, alright, always have your mind, Lord. Every time when you call your son, every time when you call your daughter, it will always remind you of the Lord. Spend time in giving the name. Not some of the names that we have come across. I'm not talking about in the church, outside. Oh, they have all kinds of weird names. Alright? And it doesn't tell us anything. But as Christians, it must reflect our faith, our trust in the Lord. Can you imagine the parents of Nehemiah in a foreign country was hoping all the time. He heard the word of the Lord and he was looking forward to the time that he will return, or Nehemiah, or they will return to Jerusalem. So every time I call Nehemiah, it's just literally to say, even though I'm living in Shushan the palace, even though I'm living in Persian Empire, the consolation of the Lord will prevail one day. And we will go back to Jerusalem. What a faith. And then through this, especially for those second generation Christians, let us treasure that we are born in that family. Because the teaching was just passed down. And Nehemiah caught it. Not only through the parents, he himself caught it. He developed his character. In what area? Knowledge of God. Knowledge of God. Alright? What is his knowledge of God? Oh Lord God, verse 5. Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, or the awesome God, keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him. Alright, you just read the prayer, you will realize that this is the person who has a deep knowledge of God. When I know it, it was from young, from birth, and then he himself, he learned. For a true blue Jew, from the age of 3, they were taught the Torah. They were taught the Torah. Alright? So, like what C.F. said, kid is not too young to know salvation. Got to slowly teach them. As young as 3 years old, start teaching them, or even 2. I've seen parents, even from 1 year old, 2 year old, teaching them prayer. Not too early to teach. Do not wait till, when they can understand, when they have their own vocabulary. No, you teach. Alright? Nehemiah learned the knowledge of God. Nehemiah developed of loving God. Of loving God. Alright? How do we know that we love God? I think the Apostle John tells us most clearly. It's almost like an indictment that John in 1 John 4:20 says that if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, what did he say? He is a liar. If a man say, I love God, but hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen. How can he love God, whom he hath not seen? The most logical argument. Alright, we say we love God. Do we love God's people? Nehemiah certainly did. Alright. When they had the first return under Zerubbabel and under Ezra the scribe, Nehemiah all the time was waiting for news. Alright, in verse 1. It's in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came. He and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped. He was very concerned. The moment, the first thing that he has an opportunity, he asked, what happened to my brethren in Judah? Are we concerned about God's word? Are we concerned about God's people? Or we just take it for granted? And this cannot be developed overnight. It's a character development, the love of God. No one can say that I love God, but I hate the brothers. Just like one person who says, Lord, I can endure all things. It's just that people I cannot endure. There's no such thing that you cannot endure people and you can endure all things. Alright? So we have to learn. And the third one that Nehemiah had developed, fellowship with God. Deep fellowship with God. Or I want to call it intimate fellowship with God. Somehow or other that we preachers nowadays, we are being affected
by the womb. No, the word intimate is actually a very, very beautiful word. But because the world has already what? Adulterated that word. Every time when we talk about intimate relationship, what does that? It has a connotation of sexual. It has a sexual connotation. But intimate is far from that. Intimate is very, very close. Like sinsing with one another. And we are supposed to have that kind of intimate relationship, fellowship with God. Nehemiah had it. The moment he heard about it, what did he do? I prayed to God, my God of my Father. I pray. I beseech you, O God, O Lord, God of heaven. That kind of fellowship, the moment he heard about it, he didn't say like what the Cantonese say, mo tak kao la. You know what is mo tak kao la? You know, Cantonese will explain it to you. Hopeless. No hope. No. I pray to God. The moment I heard about that dilemma, I immediately prayed to God. Oh Lord God of heaven, hear my prayer. And hear the prayer of the faithful, all your people. The first thing, he directs his problem, his dilemma, his challenge to God. Lord, help your people. That's character development. Not overnight. Are we prepared to? Are we prepared to do it? And second thing, a character development as Christian is to be caring for the affairs of the Lord, of the work of the Lord. Alright, let's read verse 3. Hanani said to Nehemiah, it says that the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. Not just in great affliction. There's been one jeered by people. They have to suffer reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. never said in those days when the wall was broken. You can't have a city with a wall broken down. And that was exactly what happened. The first returning, they went back to rebuild the temple. But would the temple be safe when the wall was all broken? Not at all. That's why they suffered great affliction and reproach. Definitely, after 70 years when they returned, you know the inhabitants there, they occupied. They wouldn't want the Israelites to come back. Alright, they will push them out, they will jeer them, they will make life difficult for them. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept. I sat down and wept. When you hear about the affairs of the Lord, when you hear about the different church, do you grieve? Or do you sit down and wept? Lord, I'm so sorry that this thing happened. Why? Why? Lord, you are awesome. You are powerful. That's the idea. That's the love, the care of God, the affairs of the Lord. Alright? And he says, I sat down and wept and mourned for certain days. Not just one day. Several days he mourned and fasted. Alright? It was really time. You could see. He was so concerned, he was so caring for that I don't want to think about food. I want to pray, I fasted and pray before the God of heaven. There will be time. Today, we are not teaching a lot about fasting. But when we feel the real need, let's put aside the idea of food. Let's come come to the Lord and pray.
That's how caring. A passion in sin with the Lord cares for the affairs of the Lord, for God's people, for God's work. What about us? What about us? Are we very caring for the work at Covenant? ACM is coming very soon. And I think it's time for all of us, not just the leader, for all of us to do a self-examination. What have I done for the Lord's work at Covenant? Do I care for the work? Do I care for God's people? Do I care for the work? Caring for the affairs of the Lord. Alright, part of our character development. You cannot force a person to care if he does not develop his character to care. Alright, one Malay word which is really, really good, I like to, from time to time I like to use it. I have a few Malay words that I really love. One is chocok. You know what is chocok? Hebrews 10:24. Provoke one another unto good works, right? The word provoke, if you were to write it in Malay, would be chocok one another. Chocok is actually sometimes it could be in a bad sense, but you can have it in a good sense. In other words, you poke one another. That's how provoke it. And this is another word that I like to use, is called tida'apa. Tida'apa. What? No, I don't care. I don't care. Who cares? Who cares? Why should I entertain all this? Oh, I've already enough headache. Why should I care? Ay, tida'apa. No. We should not be tida'apa, careless for the work of the Lord. Alright, let's be really caring. Now second thing that we want to be in sync with the Lord is our daily prayer. This is one that we can really search. Alright, this time around we were reviewing our prayer ministry and during the session meeting we said, why is it prayer meeting attendance not that great? You know, one of the suggestions is this. You know, the moment prayer meeting, they won't want to come because why? They are so scared that you call them to pray. So I stayed away from. Do you stay away from prayer meeting because of this? You know, some people, I can understand, alright, slowly you have to develop. Some people would not like to pray in public. Because you ask them, you say, oh, my tongue twisted, I don't know what to say. Ooh, I make an embarrassing situation of myself. I don't want to come, so I stayed away. Ask me to pray alone, I can. Yeah, there are people who are like that. But slowly, you must overcome that phobia. Alright? But in our daily prayer, and I hope that all of us will practice and make sure that when we examine our prayer reflects through what? Sinsing with the Lord. Okay. How? First, reflected through our deep fellowship. What do we pray? And first and foremost, how do we regard prayer? How do we regard prayer? How do we regard our daily prayer? Our daily devotion, our prayer to the Lord. Not just morning, meal time, evening. We pray many times, right? Because when you are in working, when you are faced with a certain problem, when you are down and out, you pray. I'm talking about all these prayers. Not just a certain prayer. Alright? What is prayer? I think people will say, oh, prayer is conversing with God. half right. Do you know that prayer is a two-way communication? It's not just uttering words to God. Jesus says that even before we utter, God knows our heart. God knows our heart. So uttering our words is not just to let God know. Uttering our words is to let us know, not let God know. Why? Because when we utter our word, it gives us the opportunity to what? To have a deep fellowship with God. Never see your prayer as a vending machine. Lord, I say something. Just like the one in front of Kmart. You put the money. You want Coke. You want Pep. Or whatever. You can just boom, came down. Now even with what? Snacks. Recently there was this new thing. Alright. You can even put in money and then you can get a lot of things. It's God. It's our God that way. It's just that, Lord, I'm coming to you. I just want to plead and ask you. Oh yes, we can. That does not mean that we can't. This Paul tells us, let our requests be made known to God. We can. But is that all about our prayer? Everything is asking. Not at all. It is a two-way communication. Years ago when I read this book, it really stung me. It says prayer is a two-way communication. Sometimes when we were so dejected that we can't even utter the word. Do you realize that? Times that God will just speak to us. Oh, I'm not talking about charismatic things. Oh, the Lord spoke to me. I can smell the thing. I tell you, these are things that I don't know whether what we should say about it. It's just that when we are quiet, God will speak to us through what? Through our memory verses. Through our Bible. Through a sermon that we probably recently have heard. And then it just rings in our eyes. God uses all this to tell us. Not just using something to say that, oh, since God speaks to me, therefore I overpower everyone. Not that. It is just that sometimes that we can't even utter words to God. God speaks to us through His own word, through His written words, that we are encouraged. It is a deep fellowship. The word prayer, actually, in the original Greek word, the first level of meaning is worship. Proskuneia is actually worship, has the idea of worship, coming before the Lord. It is a two-way communication, and we can only have that two-way communication when we deep fellowship with the Lord. I think all of us have heard of the story of George Muller, right, man? That one day, the staff told him, he said, Mr. Muller, next morning, we are not going to have enough bread for the orphans. You know what George Muller said? The Lord will provide. Was he arrogant and impertinent and said no? Sometimes, if we look at from the surface, it looks as though that way. Now you just said it that way. But it was fostered through deep fellowship that George Mueller at that point of time knew that the Lord will provide. And the next morning, nothing on the table. Not enough. And I said, let us give thanks for the food. The star was apprehensive. No food and give thanks for the food. He says, let's pray. The Lord will provide. And lo and behold, after the prayer, ding dong, someone knocked at the door. Bread. We are sending bread to the orphanage. Coincidence? Not at all. It is
far beyond what we can fathom. George Mueller, through his daily devotion, has fostered a very deep fellowship with God that he can even feel the pulse of God. That he could speak with that kind of confidence, the Lord will provide. So let us develop. Let us develop that deep fellowship. Alright, let's look at Nehemiah's prayer. Look at Nehemiah's prayer. Verses 5 and 6. Nehemiah. He says, I thee, O God, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God. These terrible things do not see from our modern usage of terrible. Our God is a terrible God. The word terrible here means it struck terror. In other words, to say, today our modern word will be, Lord, you are awesome. You are just an awesome God. Alright? This is not that terrible that we should understand God with. Our God is never a terrible God as we today understand. But he is really an awesome. Alright? In those days, terrible was having the right meaning. Alright? It says, he that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant which I pray before thee now and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sin of the children. You could even feel it. That we sin against you. That we really sin against you. Not just the children of Israel, which we have. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Can you imagine the kind of prayer? Right from the heart. Not fabricated. That's how. Let's read on. Verses 8. Through 10. Remember, I beseech thee the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations, which God did, right? God honored his word. He scattered them. But, verse 9, if ye returns unto me and keep my commandments and do, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, which is, we call it in our terms that, even into the infinite area, yet will I gather them from thence and bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there, Jerusalem. No matter how you scatter, even to the infinite place, to the place that I can't even, no one can touch, I will bring you back to the place I set my name, Jerusalem. That's the kind of understanding that Nehemiah had with God. Or of God. Alright, he is a covenant-keeping God. An awesome God. A powerful God. Nothing is impossible to him. Because Nehemiah was in constant fellowship with God. He was able to pray such a manner of prayer. Do not think that such prayer, such kind of prayer, can be fabricated. No. Even if it is fabricated, it will not last a long time. But we thank God that this prayer lasted since then till today. Because it was from the heart, from a deep fellowship that Nehemiah had with God, that he could pray. What about our prayer? Our prayer, is it a very shallow prayer or a deep prayer? Sometimes I tell the people, my congregation, when we pray to God, don't put on a facade. Because why? It does you no good. It does none of us any good. Because God knows our heart. And we say, Lord, I want to fabricate the word. You mean he doesn't know our heart?
We can put a facade on, but not with God. So let us be honest with God. Let us come before Him and pour whatever is in us to Him. Alright? To God. And another reason they say, they wouldn't dare to pray, because why? Because the moment that when they pray, they cannot say anything that's not in their heart. The moment they say the things in their heart, they are so scared. Alright? Lord, I want to commit myself. You commit yourself. Lord, I want to do this. Then you do this. Alright? So, since Lord, I don't know. I'm so scared. So I don't want to say. So I don't want to pray. No? Even without praying, God knows our heart. Alright? So come before God. Have that deep fellowship. What's in us? If it is hurting, tell Him that we are hurting. If it is suffering, tell Him that we are suffering, and not say, Lord, and then in the end, after prayer, Lord, I'm not okay. Alright, just tell that kind of deep fellowship with Him. And second thing, our prayer can be reflected through our reverence for God. Our prayer will show whether we revere God or not. How many of you have heard? My sister forward this YouTube recording for me, and I turn it on. I tell you, it is about a boy preacher's prayer. How many of you have watched that YouTube? No, none of you. I tell you, if you want to watch, you watch. If you don't want to watch, you won't lose anything. It was this gathering, charismatic gathering. And then the preacher would say, okay, all let us pray. And then suddenly, he passed the mic to a little boy. I think probably age about 6 or 7. Or between 6 to 10. Alright? And he prayed. You know what he prayed? I decree and declare that you, God, do this to this. I decree and declare that you, God, do this, 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 this. And after 4 or 5 times, after he decreed that God does this, all these things. Alright. The things that he said was right. Because picking up from them, that you be merciful to your people. That your love will be shown among the people. Right, that's right. But he says, I decree and declare. What is decree and declare? Who can decree and declare? I decree and declare that you, our Prime Minister Tony, ever do this and that. What's going to happen to me? In Australia, it's quite okay. Try and do this in one of the Asian countries. Alright. I come from Singapore. If I were to say that to my, you know, the PM was my schoolmate, my contemporary, alright, and years ago when I was in school, it's only one part of our class, alright, and can I just go to him, since we are classmates, I decree and declare that you do this, what's going to happen to Pam Peter, probably in Changi jail, alright, and being in jail without any trial, because I was what? Insolent. I was impertinent to the priest. But this person was telling God, I decree and declare. After 4 or 5 times, you know what happened? That's the worst thing that can ever happen. The whole congregation clapped. I tell you, when I watched that, it saddened my heart. With deep fellowship with God, it does not give us a license to be impertinent, to be arrogant with God. Moses was so angry that he told God, if you want to wipe out the name of God, wipe me as well. God says, no. Moses, who you think you are? I will only wipe out those who are rebellious. I'm the righteous God. Not even Moses could say that. Alright, what about us? And every time when we talk about this, we want to talk about the prayer of Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God. God called him a friend. If God were to call me, Peter, I treat you as my friend. Oh, that will be nice. Abraham was called a friend of God. And yet when he was talking to Jesus, and what did he say? God revealed to him that I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Did Abraham plead with God? I decree and declare that you, being a merciful God, you cannot destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if there are 40 people who call on your name. And God says, okay, I said. Then I decree and declare that what if you have 30? No, he didn't say that. Is that in your Bible? Did Abraham say that? No. What did Abraham say? Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Genesis 18:27. Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Can you imagine? That's reverence to God. A faith in God, a deep fellowship in God, is not one that will give us the license to be arrogant. If our prayer to God is one that is very respectful, we thank God. Alright, sometimes we say, Lord, yes, we know that you are. And with this, I'd just like to there are some prayers that we say that, Lord, I claim the promise of this. I claim your promise of this. As though it sounds very spiritual, right? And you say, hey, he claimed the promise. What am I going to do? Don't you ever claim the promise. Why? You know what is claimed. Anyone here working with an insurance company? No. When a person claims, and they say, I want to claim for my damage on my car. And I realize that, I haven't paid my premium. What's going to happen? Oh, sorry, you have not paid your premium. No claim. Not even a single cent. Not even your stamp. Correct? When we want to claim promise of God, God will ask one, have you done what you have to do? No. Why don't we just say, Lord, by your mercy, by your grace, Lord, I plead with you this one, just like Abraham. Let not my God be angry, but this one I want to speak to you. Reverence to God. How many times? Verse 6, let thy ear now be attentive and thy eyes open. Verse 11, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thy ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee. A total reverence. May our prayer reflect that. So, is our life in sin with the Lord? And I pray that after this, let's go home and do a self-examination. Is my life in sin with the Lord? And I hope that your answer will be affirmative. Lord, thank you. Let us go to God in prayer. Lord, indeed, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the wonderful example of Nehemiah. Not just Nehemiah. He's actually a reflection of all of us. A man of like passion, like Elijah. Oh Lord, what you can do, or what you have done to Nehemiah, you can do to us. So Lord, we plead with you. Our lives would like to be in sync with you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.